Why Water Baptism, Part 36. I'm Professor Hannes Redlinghuis of the First Assembly of Yafashua in South Africa, Montana. Should you require any of the books that I've written, especially the two keys to the Book of Revelation, or What is Your God's Name, please contact us at 0722-367124. That's +27, and that's a WhatsApp number. Or just go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za. If this is the first time that you will participate in the study, Why Water Baptism, you're utmost welcome, and I've trusted this will be a blessing unto you. But you please need to go to part one and start from the beginning, because you have missed quite a bit of information. Very important to subscribe to the channel, enable to be notified about all the other studies and also our TikTok messages. Please share this link with your friends and family, and make sure that you have a 1611 King James Bible ready, a pen and a writing pad. It's very important to know that we do not associate ourselves with the front people, any messianic groups, the Israel Vision groups, the Hebrew Roots movement, the Sacred Name movement, the Yah movement. We are not part of the Jehovah Witnesses or Seventh-day Adventist churches. Instead, we do not affiliate ourselves with any church, denomination or organization in the world. We are only an end-time Bible study group, and we are functioning throughout the world. We mainly are using the ancient Hebrew Sacred Name Bible, according to the Restoration, the 1860 Restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, the Rottenham version, the one which was translated by Dr. Joseph Briant Rottenham in 1860. This is one of the oldest English stroke Hebrew Bibles that you will find. Prof. Hannes has got a couple available, should you be interested. And this is not the 1902 emphasis corrupted Bible. This is the 1860 restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible. According to this Bible, the name Jesus was originally Yafashua. The name God was originally Elohim or Hashim. The name Lord was originally Yaffa. The name of the Holy Spirit was originally the Ruach HaKodesh. We refer to ourselves as Yafis, according to 1 Peter 4 verse 16, in the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, the Rottenham version. So did the disciples of Yafashua and the followers did 2,000 years ago. I trust that this study is going to be a blessing unto you in the wonderful and precious name of Yafashua. Welcome to Breakfast with Prof. Hannes. Hallelujah. What a privilege to be able to sit and study the Word. And you know, all we need to do is read what the Word says. As I said in the announcement, we do not belong to a church, denomination or organization in the world. So I'm not getting anything for what I'm preaching or teaching. I'm giving you the revelation word. And if I'm wrong, please contact me. You've got my contact numbers. And refer it to me and correct me. But according to the 1611 King James Bible or the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible. Now our theme is Why Water Baptism? The promise made in Mark 16, verse 16 and 17, are the scriptures. I'm actually asking a question. The promises that we studied last week and Friday when we stopped, are they applicable to us in this 21st century? Where he says, go and be immersed in the name of Yahushua. Go cast out devils. Lay your hands on the sick. Is it applicable? Of course it is. What if I'm baptized in any other name except the name Yafashua? What? Will these promises have an effect in my life if I'm baptized in other names? Now that we know that the name Father, Son and Holy Ghost are not names, but titles. Does it affect the promises which is made in the word of Yahweh of Elohim, does it? Surely it will. Before you indulge in the study, you were ignorant. You are no more ignorant. You've already heard the revelation word. You can never say, I never heard this. This word will testify against you one day. When they heard this, now we're going to study Acts 2, verse 36, verse 37 to 41. Acts 2, verse 37 to 41. Make a note. I'm going to, basically every chapter, every verse, I'm going to put under a heading. And it's very important that we pay attention to the heading, which is actually a question I'm asking. When they heard this, now, what happened? Before Yahushua ascended into heaven, he told the apostles that you need to go and wait in Jerusalem where I will send the Ruach HaKodesh. I will anoint you with power, according to the word. And on the day of Pentecost, there was 120 people in the upper room. And then the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, was poured upon them. And it drew people who were in Jerusalem, from different corners of Jerusalem, to the upper room, where they were. And they were speaking in tongues. Now, when they spoke in tongues, it wasn't an unknown noise they just made. Karaba, karaba, korubu, kutsi, karaba, karisa, kakaraba. It's not what they heard. The Bible says, go read Acts 2, 36 to 41. It says, and they heard the disciples or the apostles and these 120 people speaking in their own tongues, their own languages. So if there were German people, they would have heard somebody here is speaking German. If there were Hebrew people, they would have heard somebody here speaking Hebrew. If there were Zulu people, they would have heard there's somebody Zulu speaking Zulu here. If there were French people, they would have heard somebody in the upper room speaking French. Because they says, when they heard this, they, the audience that was drawn by the Ruach HaKodesh, when they heard this, and they noticed what was happening, the word says that if it was tongues that separate themselves and sat upon all of them. So, when they heard this, what did they hear? They heard these disciples speaking and actually explaining the audience lives to themselves. Explaining certain things that happen in their lives, in their own language. They were speaking in different languages. Now when they heard this, they were picked in the heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were confused. Where did these uneducated people get the knowledge from to know what happened in these other people's lives? They were astonished. They were surprised. But you know, the word of Yahweh says that even when we think about something, Yahweh already knows about it. It said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So, why would they ask, what shall we do? Can I answer the question? Because through the announcement and the different tongues that came out, different languages, they were pricked by the hearts. It's not the hearts, it's actually their soul's dimension. And they realized that they were lost. They realized that they were sinners. They realized that they were unsaved. And that's why they asked Peter and the other apostles, What must we do, brethren? They speak to them as brethren already. What shall we do? Now, when he says, what shall we do, in brackets, to be saved? He says, actually the same thing which happened when Nicodemus went to Yahshua in John 1 verse 3 to 5, well, actually to verse 11. But Nicodemus, who was a Jew, a Hebrew teacher of the 613 laws, went to Yahshua and asked, what must I do to be saved? And Yahshua told him, you need to be born again. Born again, go back into the womb. Because if you are not born again, you will not see the kingdom of. If you're not born again through water and spirit, you will not see the kingdom of Yahweh. If you are not born again, you will not enter the kingdom of Yahweh. Now, does that mean that if I'm not baptized or immersed, be born again? Because that's the only reason, the only way you can be born again. There's no other way. Through water and the infilling of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Now, does it mean that people that were not immersed are not going to heaven? No. As I explained before, the guy on the cross, the sinner, one of the two sinners, he received grace by accepting Yahshua on the cross. He must have. He received grace, and what did Yahshua told him or promise him? Today you will be with me in paradise. Where's paradise? In the third heaven. Apostle Paul says, in the third heaven. That's where paradise is. Paradise is not on earth like the church used to taught us since we were small children. So the guy on the cross was not in the position to be immersed. And he still made heaven. But according to John 3 verse 1 and 5, if you are not immersed, you won't even see the kingdom of, you won't enter the... No, that's the bridegroom. You will not see the honeymoon, the bride's room. You can go to paradise, third heaven. But the bride's room is for those who has a wedding garment on. The bride has a wedding garment. And when I studied Galatians 3 verse 26 to 29, and we already studied it, it says those who were immersed in the name of Yahshua to the remission of their sin, not in titles of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the name, you can only receive your garment, wedding garment, in the name above every other name in heaven and in earth. So what happened in Galatians 3, 26, 29? It says, those who were immersed in Yahshua, they were clothed with Yahshua. They put on their wedding garment. There's no more Jew nor Gentile, Greek nor free man nor slave, man nor woman. And as I explained in the study before, that's the only way that a lady could become part of the bride of Yahshua. Is through repentance, first of all. Repentance and then being immersed in the name of Yahshua. Because according to the Old Testament, the 630 laws of Moses, according to Abram, it's impossible for a lady to be saved. Any woman. They were saved by the standard and the grace of their husbands. But the word says in the New Paul comes and he says, He doesn't got the desire that we were circumcised by our flesh, but we be renewed by our mind through the Ruach HaKodesh, our soul's dimension. So the ladies need to be renewed by their soul's dimensions. And the moment that any woman accept Yahshua as the Redeemer and the Savior and are immersed in the name of Yahshua, they became part of the bride of Yahshua and the inheritance of the promise of Father Abram, inheritance of Yahweh to Father Abram, to become part of the seed. not seeds, the seed, Yahshua. And the offsprings of that seed will be as many as the stars in heaven and the sand on the sea. It's not Jewish people or Hebrew people. They were never a big nation. All these centuries, for 3,000, 4,000 years, they were always a small group of people. So they are, throughout, let's say 4,000 years, they never become as many as the stars in heaven and the sand on the sea. But in the last 2,000 years, the bride of Yahshua has become as many as the stars in heaven and the sand on the sea. How? Through the seed, that seed of Abram, which is Yahshua. And through new birth, we are renewed by our minds. Not only the women, men also. And that's why we, who've been Gentiles, we don't need to be circumcised by the flesh. I see in the time where we are living, especially in South Africa, the Israel Vision guys and the Hebrew movements, they all want to circumcise. Back to the 613 laws, where Yahshua says, the 613 laws has become redundant. We are living in grace. Go read Hebrew 7 verse 23, Hebrew 7 verse 21 to 29. We are going to just stop here, and then tomorrow morning we're going to continue in this wonderful study. Maranatha, Yahshua is coming back again. Hallelujah.